Thank you. And thank you to the conveners for creating this critical space, which couldn't have come at a more important time. My name is Meredith Veit. I'm a tech and human rights researcher for the Business and Human Rights Resource Center. At the Resource Center, we systematically track human rights and gender-related harms that are linked to corporate misconduct across sectors, but including the tech sector. And the allegations that we're tracking are coming from journalists, whistleblowers, digital rights activists, and workers from around the world. And over the past decade, we've logged more than 580 allegations of gender-related harms that are linked to the tech sector. And our data shows that tech companies are lacking gender competence across the value chain. So first, in the upstream portion, even top-scoring tech companies on human rights benchmarks are lacking gender-specific indicators for monitoring their supply chains. And this applies to hardware and software companies. From ensuring that women in the mines sourcing the raw materials for devices are physically safe, to non-binary workers who are sorting through data to train algorithms, often without safeguards for their mental health. The second piece of the value chain within the tech companies themselves, we're seeing a regression of diversity and inclusion policies and procedures, which has been mentioned. Our database contains at least 177 entries related to labor rights violations and gender discrimination within tech companies in a sector that continues to be male dominated and remains prone to perpetuating discrimination towards other genders. We have little to no indication that tech companies are systematically carrying out gender-sensitive human rights due diligence in the development and testing of their technologies, which was mentioned by my colleague from BTEC, meaning that many companies are bringing their products to market without knowing if these products are discriminating against women and non-binary persons by design. And third, in the downstream piece, when it comes to deployment and use of these technologies, we continue to see evidence of disproportionate harm. For example, Black and Indigenous women are still being misidentified by facial recognition systems, mislabeling them as criminals, and non-binary persons are being systematically excluded by binary digital ID systems. We have amassed over 84 different inputs about the gendered real-life impacts about online content moderation, and there are a number of cases related to the surveillance and targeting of women human rights defenders. So largely, our data shows that gender is being deprioritized by tech executives, and in some cases, this seems to be part of the business model, whether it's by deploying products that actively regenerate or amplify harmful biases and stereotypes, or by passively omitting key considerations for approximately 50% of the world's population that does not identify as male. And so, essentially, exclusion, discrimination, and gender-based violence cannot be the price that we pay for innovation at any cost. And this doesn't just apply to artificial intelligence, though of course this has been the buzz term for the past 2 years. This is across all types of technologies. And the Resource Center is very grateful to the UN Working Group on Business and Human Rights and CEDAW for leading this charge. And we have a few recommendations that we ask that you consider. So in the interest of time, I'll just name a few. But the first being more systematically incorporating questions about tech impacts within UPR processes and asking for countries to respond to this in their country reports. The second is developing a general comment that specifically addresses technology's role in exacerbating gender-based discrimination and violence, as well as more clearly outlining state obligations in this regard. Again, not just for artificial intelligence, but for the whole slew of different types of technologies, especially mass and targeted surveillance. Also, ensuring that the scope and the reach of the binding Treaty on Business and Human Rights is fit for purpose for the tech sector. The tech sector is often forgotten and not included as within the category of extractives, but it definitely is in multiple ways. And we ask that the working group and CEDAW continue to work with civil society. And specifically, we found that it's very impactful when UN entities and special rapporteurs are identifying and calling out by name the most harmful companies that are contributing to systemic gender discrimination and inequality. And finally, it would be very helpful to work together to track the regression of states' permissiveness of tech-facilitated discrimination and inequality, as we're seeing now with Meta, Amazon, and a number of other tech companies in the United States under the new administration. So there's a lot of urgent work to be done, and we hope that our data on tech and gender-based harms can serve as a launching point for collaboration on developing a framework that's centered around corporate accountability. Thank you.
Thank you very much for these remarks. Now I would like to open the floor. Yes, okay.